Leviticus.
Yeah.
Leviticus.
14.
Here we are.
Start in verse 33. We're gonna read 1 through, or we're gonna study 1 through 32 at the last point. So we read Leviticus 13, and now we're gonna skip 14, 1 through 32, and go over to the end here.
Is 2 whole chapters about leprosy?
2 very long chapters about leprosy. Tell him. 14:33. The Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When you be come into the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, and I put the plague of leprosy in a house of the land of your possession, he that owneth the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, It seemeth to me there is, as it were, a plague in the house. And the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priests go into it to see the plague, that all that is in the house be not made unclean. And afterward the priest shall go in to see the house, and he shall look on the plague, and behold, if the plague be in the walls of the house with hollow strakes, greenish or reddish, which are in sight, which inside are lower than the wall, or deeper. You understand what that means? They're in. Then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut up the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again the 7th day and shall look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in the which the plague is, and they shall cast them into an unclean place without the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped within round about, and they shall pour out the dust that they scrape off without the city into an unclean place. And they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and shall plaster the house. And if the plague come again and break out in the house after that he hath taken away the stones, and after he hath scraped the house, and after it is plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and behold, if the plague be spread in the house, it is a fretting or spreading leprosy in the house, it is unclean. And he shall break down the house, the stones of it, and the timber thereof, and all the mortar of the house. And he shall carry them forth out of the city into an unclean place. Moreover, he that goeth into the house all the while that it is shut up shall be unclean until the even. And he that lieth in the house shall wash his clothes. He that eateth in the house shall wash his clothes. And if the priest shall come in and look upon it, and behold, the plague hath not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. Now again, well, I'll talk about that in a minute. And he shall take to cleanse the house, forget the cleansing part.
This is wild.
Now let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envyings, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the world, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. You also, as alive stones, or lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The point here is that an analogy of the house is you and the body, or the house, right? You understand? Mm-hmm. In my Father's house are many mansions or
things.
Bodies, really, is what he's saying. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many
dwelling places
made up of alive stones. You understand? We're dealing here with leprosy in the house. And we've ascertained that the chief cornerstone of the house was by the senses declared unclean and cast out. By the senses, by the flesh. You understand? He was cast to an unclean place outside the city. Outside the gates. If leprosy is seen in the house, it's shut up for 7 days. And then it's inspected. And then the stones that have leprosy, or that have the markings, are cast out into an unclean place, along with the mortar. The mortar is always the love that knit us together, or packs us together in love. Along with everything is cast outside. New stones are put in. But you must understand that if leprosy exists in that stone, it's cast out without mercy. Now, it's not saying it's not going to be, we don't know what's going to happen to it. It's not our business. Because if that stone isn't cast out, then the whole house has to be destroyed and be cast out this side of the city into an unclean place. Am I communicating a little bit? Do you understand why we've never studied leprosy?
Well, I'm just glad we had him. It's worse.
You remember it said at the start that the house in the land, the house that is in the land that I gave you for a possession, that's the only one that's eligible. Okay, let's look at some stuff. Is that enough of a preamble to the house leprosy a little bit? Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So Christ was declared leprous
in
according to everything they could see.
Right. Rejected.
And also he took all the leprosy, so
right.
He was leprosy.
When it says lively stones, does that just talking about living people, or is the idea of the lively
hope? The lively hope, it's tied into the resurrection.
Yeah. So by taking all the leprosy upon him and being cast out, then he kept the house from being torn down, his house from being torn down.
Well, in a way, but what he really kept, he defined a new house, which really wasn't the new, but it was from the eyes. It's the same house that Abel was a part of. I mean, there's only been one message.
When we started reading that,
I detected a little fear.
Yes, the idea of there being leprosy in one of these houses. And that if there is a leprosy, then the
house
come in. Well, it's scraped, and then if it comes back, it tends to persist. Then the whole thing is just eradicated.
That's. I was thinking about that in terms of what Jesus was saying about cutting off, your hand or something to enter into heaven. Because if it was a leprous, and you cut it off, then you would be examined, and you would be clean according to the Levitically. So some people probably did want to cut off, rather than be kept out of Israel. They would rather have somebody chop it off, and maybe they could slip.
You mean it? Was it possible that you could cut off the leprosy?
There's a whole lot of stuff in the Talmud about it. How to scrape their skin off and
try to get rid of it.
Yeah, it's weird.
That really.
I can't tell you how.
That's probably.
You're gonna. When you understand leprosy, you will read the New Testament and be blown away.
I don't think I ever. That never really meant anything. That better to join the kingdom Paul for lame than not at all.
Okay, I'm gonna just talk about some technical stuff that. From the Talmud, the Negaim. When these hollow streaks that are greenish or reddish in the plaster of a house occur, it is regarded that the house is affected or has leprosy. The occupant first clears his house of all furniture. For if the discoloration is pronounced leprous by the priest, all in the house would become unclean and must be destroyed. Again, you got to understand, leprosy is a condition that God places on you that is not a disease, it's a condition. Yeah, you got that? Okay.
It's rebellion, the condition of rebellion, is it?
It's manifested by thinking you have your own thoughts and therefore refusing to test them. You understand? Having your little own private opinions and mind talk and refusing the test of the fire. Now in this case, it's refusing my test.
What do you mean in this case?
Well,
here.
Well, that's the preeminent thing with us. I mean, if we're going to hide.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. I was thinking about something. That's an example.
Do you understand? Your opinions, if they can't pass through my fire, what you perceive as fire,
you don't see that as a wonderful thing.
Huh?
I've said a lot of times we'd rather hide than see this as a first cure or first.
Okay, from now on, every time you hide it, the slightest hiding of that, it makes, it makes you leprous. Raw flesh is turned. It makes the house leprous.
Get scraped.
Thanks, Darren.
Fucking Gary asked a question.
It was for your sake. That's a form of interdependence that gets real tough.
Well, what it happens here is that you now are beginning to understand that all mind talk is a revelation of leprosy.
Yeah.
It's boxing, man.
It's like, the thing that I get to mind talking about is about, okay, we are totally leprous. What is the condition?
The mind talk turns it from all white into raw flesh showing, or will worship.
don't we subconsciously try to not do anything we can do to not see we're lepers, though?
Well,
what is that condition?
Too late.
What is that?
Well, it's the condition of being in Egypt or in the wilderness.
That's when you're trying to do that?
Yeah, it's the adolescent state. Now you've passed out of that. How do you know you've passed out of it? Because I fucking said so, you passed out of it.
Any mixture really is a thing. Mixture of leprosy and non-leprosy is
becomes,
what's bad. Because it's, yeah.
It turns the flesh.
Like Balaam mixing.
Do you understand?
There was one thing. When,
now you understand now, from now on, when I say, do you understand, and in your mind you're dwelling on it, it's leprosy. It's not excusable. It's either all prophecy or all leprosy.
Better to ask the question and get you mad at us than...
That's not leprous. By asking the question, you're risking everything.
Yeah.
That is the concern.
Yeah, being mad is not in the equation. Who cares?
What?
The being mad shit isn't in the equation.
I know, but how often have you done it?
Well, I know. I'm saying I mean, I'm worried about you being mad. That's a meaningless thing.
That's a meaningless thing.
This is good, though, because it's like one. I keep thinking that even if you confess it, it's still leprous, you know. But if it's all out there, then it's not leprous.
Then it's all white.
Yeah. Okay.
It's leprous, but it's all white, so you're clean.
It's not a question of leprous or not leprous.
It's all
clean or unclean.
Anytime you keep stuff in,
then it's raw flesh. It's will worship. Yeah.
It's the opposite.
Turns the flesh.
Always leprous.
When you instead of if you expose it, then it's the flesh isn't exposed.
It's
if you
all
don't
white.
Expose it, the flesh is exposed. Yeah. It kind
so
of flip flops like that.
So it's leavened, it ferments,
right.
And turns into leprosy.
If it's inside,
because
it's dirty. If it's outside,
it
it's clean.
Okay.
And that
this is what we've always said.
The reverse thing is like that's
yeah, but you didn't know it was leprosy before.
Yeah, well, that's the consuming. You know, we talk about consuming the lamb totally. That's I mean, we think of eating as being taking in, but it's really the consuming. Putting it all out there.
I wonder if there's a tie-in here to the leaven being in the cakes, you know, I mean, and the thing, bread at the...
Pentecost?
Some kind of all leaven.
Leaven is the thing. Leaven is the thing that causes prophecy to take place.
What?
Okay,
it ferments.
Yeah. There's a thing that's been... fermenting in me, and it's after we had Bible study last night, and we were, Pam and I were talking about stuff, and I was thinking about how each one of the groups are different, and there's been, you know, I've gone through a whole range of things at different times about, you know, whether I'm, you know, I'm not capable, or I think all of a sudden that now I'm more capable. And I see, you know, I go through this, the same thing in regards to you, and I could hear the thing about it's not wise to compare yourself among yourselves, you know, because I can see it's the same. You know, whether I build somebody up or I slander them, it's the same thing.
Same coin.
And, you know, I can't even, you know, all I know is, you know, I see that there, and I'm afraid of it.
All I'm saying to you with that is that's okay for now. It's expected. It's not unusual. You're not doing anything wrong. It's okay.
To feel inadequate.
To feel inadequate. To go from those two up and down. It's fine. It's okay. See,
yeah.
I mean, I inspected the leprosy, the thing, the call, and I, by the office of priesthood, have declared it not leprous.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what it means to be under the cover.
That's great.
I mean, it really is neat stuff, folks.
Yes.
This stuff hasn't... I keep telling you that I keep searching for...
Loopholes
and stuff. I don't search for loopholes anymore, but now I've been searching for somebody somewhere that must have said this stuff sometime. Can't find it.
Yeah.
This is the greatest thing since white bread.
Sliced bread.
That too.
It wasn't very great.
I heard from the birdseed contingent.
The thing is, what gets me is the fact that it spreads.
Ah, fretting.
Yeah.
Fretting.
It's interesting that fretting is the word.
Yeah, yeah.
Fretting.
Real
interesting. Fretting. Leprosy. Can you feel the freedom in what we're about?
Something just hit me. This thing about in my father's house. I can feel the rewind. In my father's house are many mansions. It just hit me. Here's a Jew saying to Jews, in my father's house, the temple, there are many synagogues. Obviously true. Because of the pilgrimage feast, synagogues from all over the world came together.
That's what you said.
Well, okay. I didn't mean something
better
than Harrison. Oh. I mean, yeah. It just hit me. In my father's temple, there are many synagogues.
Blessing upon Levi's
too.
Why the fuck didn't I get a blessing when I said it an hour ago?
Same reason nobody rooted for you to win at gym.
Blessing on you.
See what I have to put up with, Rex?
It's all
we're too blown away when you tell us stuff. To even respond.
John.
Guinness, is that neat or is that neat stuff? Now, the idea that I just, now again, I gotta pour me just a minute. I didn't have anybody to do this.
You didn't have anybody to after Bible study say, where are all these people? These people are ridiculous. You had to just talk to yourself.
Yeah, it's true, but you didn't have an altar.
No, but I mean, I didn't have anybody, I didn't have any covering after the flesh anywhere.
Yeah. Tried.
Oh, I tried like hell. There's no merit.
You looked desperately.
Looked desperately. No desperately leopard. Seeking.
No one to declare you clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fuck it, I said, okay, I'm clean. No matter what anybody else says.
Yeah.
In spite of all appearances.
I think Larry's saying it goes just like Jesus saying your sins are forgiven. You know.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, we have
the
power.
Sins to do that. But that's not even the question here.
That is tough.
It was absolutely
the power.
The power has been given in these kinds
the
of
power
things. And the authority.
Keys the
power
to the kingdom.
To bind and to loose.
To bind and to loose. Forgive. Last night I scared the hell out of bananas because I sent them out without laying hands on them.
Like the 70?
Like his, no, the first time he. No. Before he sent the 70, he sent out the 12.
Yeah.
Where'd you send them out to?
To their world. And the idea that now that once you've sent them out by speaking it, then they can never again be in their temptation. Now it's, you are they that continue with me in my temptation. Now they get confused just like the disciples did.
Then you can say, oh, you little faith.
No, what he said was dummies.
Dummies, just like the disciples. Okay, everybody okay?
Yeah.
Kind of, my leprosy's
spreading
a little, but I don't...
I'm feeling totally leprous.
Okay.
Yes. Right, what it is. Kind of scary, kind of awesome.
Well, now you understand, but it can only be seen in that little strip of land.
Yeah.
This is like the last stuff before the...
Yeah.
And... Oh yeah, last night, I was so fun. Matt is sitting here, right? And Matt is, I mean, he's not moving a muscle. He's not blinking, he's not doing anything. For it seems like for 10 minutes when I was talking, I could see him out of the corner of my eye.
His mouth is again.
And I said, Matt, what's going on? And he said, I'm afraid if I move a millimeter, I'll stop understanding.
That's close. That's what you call waiting on God. Yeah. Some serious waiting there.
Okay, the occupant clears his house of the furniture, et cetera, for reasons we talked about. Then he asks the priest to inspect it. The test is first that the stain is in the substance in the wall, and second, that it's spreading. When these conditions are fulfilled, that it's both in the substance of the wall, i.e. it's not just somebody, you know, can you imagine?
Crayons.
No, I'm serious. I mean, can you imagine what this group would do if we were doing this after the flesh? We'd go paint, we'd paint leprous on people's houses and stuff.
like rolling
it. Yeah.
I mean, were they mostly adobe houses? Is that what, clay houses? Is that what the,
I don't know how to, they're made of earth.
Sheetrock.
They're almost, in the land, there were, the idea of carpenter is a non-meaning thing, because carpenter then meant the artisan that carved the wood and made the joists and very sophisticated thing. It's fundamentally, it's made of the land, whether it's clay or brick or whatever, but it's made of the land.
So leprosy could actually live in it. In the dirt.
Yeah. Okay, when the conditions are seen by the priest, i.e. that it's in the wall itself, i.e. it's below the wall, and that it's spreading, it is pronounced to be leprous. Then the affected parts of the wall are taken down. Its stones cast outside the city, its plaster scraped off and also cast outside the city. You understand? New stones are then put in, and the house is newly plastered. Should the stain reoccur in the new wall, the whole building is condemned, and everything in it, and must be destroyed, and the materials cast outside the city. Now let's go to Psalm 91.
Let me get rid of something. Harry said something to you a while ago about, whatever you said, I can't remember, and I said, you don't have to apologize. Oh, the movie analogy. Like you kiss around with only before you say it. Whatever. And I said, you don't have to apologize. Well, as soon as I said that, I realized a big thing in me is apology. And one, I've got a lot of people that I deal with out in the world, but I don't talk to them very well. I can't get down with them. I can't say things to them. And it's because there's an apology in me for who I am, for what I believe, for what this stuff is, for not knowing it well enough to back up what I say. Just all this stuff, and it's like I just saw how ugly it is that to be an apology for who I am.
That last verse of Leviticus, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean, this is the law of leprosy. It's wild.
Where was it?
The last verse in chapter 14.
You've been reading ahead again.
You'll end up like that rubbish.
Now wait a minute. We're going to wait a minute and start on the scripture. I'll talk about something else first. Okay, now the attitude of the law toward the person or the garment, we're going to get into garments in a minute, or the house suspected of leprosy, is that if the disease be really, if the disease is present, they are to be declared unclean, and there is no means provided for a cure. You understand?
Say it one more time.
With every other thing, with every other disease, with every other situation, with the exception of the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit, which is another thing, there's an opportunity for a cure, or an opportunity for it to be fixed, or healed, or the balm of Gilead put on it or something. You understand? But with leprosy, whether it's in the person or in the house or in the garment, once it's declared leprous, there is no opportunity for healing.
That's interesting. Do you think they declared Christ leprous?
I don't know. That'd be speculation. Probably not. Oh, he didn't meet the standards under the law.
There would be no cure for what they accused him.
Now, in the case of the garment or a house, it had to be destroyed, burned, cast outside the camp, cast outside the city. If the disease is declared to be absent or cleansed, either one, there had to be the ceremonial purification rite. There is in reality no, the thing that we'll study, the two birds and the killing of the one bird and the dipping of the bird in the water and flying away and touching the parts of the body and all that. It's not the ritual for the cleansing of the leper. For the Torah provides no such thing, but the ritual for simply declaring him ceremonially free from the suspicion. Understand? Paul always remained the chief of sinners. Understand? If this wasn't true, now maybe for the first time in 11 years you can understand abandonment of self. In other words, you must see yourself once and for all time as totally leprous, from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. It must then be spoken, or, how can I say it, witnessed that that's the case. There is no hope of a cure.
So, you know, if you're the chief of sinners and you know you're not going to get any better, then your best option is total abandonment. You might as well.
It's like what I talked about Sunday night. That's why it ties in. Leprosy and love are so intimately related that that's why the world knows nothing about love, because they know nothing about leprosy. The process, leprosy in one sense is known as the living death. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And so in the living death, you must mourn for that which once was alive before you can know love. Now I'm talking about every arena of your life where you desire things to be different than they are right now.
This has to take, you know, I know for me, a whole new round of this stuff. You know, to be in agreement with it. You know, not the stuff that's been wrenched out or, but the stuff that
project
is there, you know, and where I see rightness.
Now project yourself into everything that you think you desire and every idea and opinion that you have about you or yours in the future. And mourn for it once and for all time. Because a leper can't have career options.
Can we take an example for a moment? You know, it's like the area where I think that I'm not going to be, I guess if there's an area, you know, I've always thought I was going to, you know, someday I was going to be strong. Someday I wasn't going to be a coward. Someday I wasn't going to be fearful. But I was going to be somehow, you know, not more than stoic, but, and,
Spartan.
Yeah. Yeah, but without being hard, you know, because I, you know, I've done that part of it, but, there's this place, you know, that I think I've always thought that was going to happen. And, I don't know how to, you know, I know this mourning thing is, you know, I hear you when you say it, you know, so that, it, you know, I can mourn for it and then let it pass away.
Well, but mourning, you miss the mystery here in a way. You must also mourn for the things that you didn't want to take place or be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In other words, the fears that you might be a coward, or the fears that you might be a this, or your fears that you might be a that in the future. In other words, you mourn for all of you.
Good point.
I was telling Gary the other night, it's like, I'm coming to the realization with all this leprosy stuff, and it's like it took place in a deeper place than understanding, because it was like, I started realizing I may never be healthy. I may never talk to people the way I think I should talk to them. I may never have believing children. I may never teach a Bible study. I mean, it's like every hope and dream.
And every negative thing.
Everything.
Yeah, that's
may never.
Not may never. Like, no, no, hear me,
yeah,
hear me. That's
yeah,
not morning.
Yeah.
Not may never, will
yeah,
never.
Yeah. It was like realizing that, you know, not only am I not going to get healthy, I'm just going to get old, you know, and it's...
You're not even going to get old. You're going to get dead.
Yeah.
In other words, abandonment of self doesn't say anything about any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
It says, I must mourn for...
Yeah.
Again, I got it.
Yeah.
The time when my father died and I lost it. And I didn't even like the guy. I mean, he's a dork. And I saw that what was happening is that I was mourning for what might have been.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that same instant, 3 months after I became a believer, at that same instant, I saw that I was mourning for what I might have been. And it was done. And I was free. It's 3 months after I became a believer.
Okay, what do you mean, what you might have been?
What I might have been.
Yeah,
or might not have been.
This is
because you hadn't talked to your dad.
No. All my dad was the catalyst
dead.
That I saw as mourning for what might have been, because I had a need father-dad relationship. I mean, getting up with some hoop. Which we did have. I mean, when I think about it, we had pretty nice. I just didn't like him.
Yeah.
But that only triggered what had happened to me 3 months earlier. Now I had to mourn for what I might have been.
You knew you could never go back to being the only thing in the world are lepers, but there's lepers that are putting on makeup and making believe they're not lepers, and you knew you could never go back to making believe you weren't a leper. You could never be successful at making believe you weren't a leper.
But it was all encompassing.
Christ came only to save the chief of lepers.
Yeah, but it was all encompassing. I mean, it was all of the wonderment and beauty I saw 3 months earlier when I had the Damascus Road thing and saw the light and the wildness and the love. All was... It was like... I saw that was... The promises were not to Oli, but to him. And therefore I saw, like when I was baptized just right after that, you know, I said, for me to live is Christ. This was before my father died. When I came out of the water, I said, for me to live is Christ. That's all I said. I didn't even know that was in the Bible. And I mean, the idea, and I screwed up all the time. I mean, because I still thought about, okay, we're going to do this and this and this, and I'm going to do this. But that didn't matter. I saw and I mourned for what I might have been or might not have been. I mean, positive and negative.
I don't quite understand the negative thing.
Well, you hear me. You say, well, I might just grow old. That's a negative thing. I might still stay sick. I might never be healed. That's a negative thing. It's not that you're going to be healed or not healed. It's not that you're going to be old or famous or good or bad or anything. All of you is gone.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, and the mourning process for that is the second breath, if you will, of picking up the cross. Down a bit.
The thing that's stuck in my head is, you know, when it says, consider them that have the rule over you, whose faith follow. This is what it's talking about.
Man, it's not talking about me being some kind of a model, a role model. Like holy men, to say holy words. Okay, all garments may contact the uncleanness of leprosy, except those of Gentiles.
All garments.
In other words, any garment of Israel can contact leprosy, but no garment of the Gentile can contact leprosy.
Contract.
Okay. All persons may contract leprosy, except a heathen and a resident alien. As we've talked, the resident alien is the heathen who acquired Palestinian citizenship on condition that he undertook to observe the seven Noachian laws and that he renounced idolatry. And that's what Paul was talking about in the book of Acts. You know, where it says the agreement they had in Jerusalem that they had agreed to do da 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 da. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The hides of animals of the sea cannot contract leprosy. However, if one joined to them anything that grows on the land, even a thread or a cord, they can be susceptible to leprosy.
That's like the sacrifice or something. Did you say a fur or a skin?
Anything. All the hides of all animals of the sea cannot contract it. But anything that if you join them with thread or cotton or wool or something.
With something else?
Yeah. Colored hides are not susceptible to leprosy. However, hides that are colored naturally, i.e. by the hand of heaven, are susceptible.
Colored hides.
Okay. Shut up. All houses may contract leprosy except those of Gentiles. We went through this before.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
None of this is repeated.
Yes, we
did. Now, this is something that is going to take a little while to think about. A round house or a triangular house or a house built on a ship or on a raft, or a house elevated on beams, cannot contract leprosy. A round house, a triangular house, a house built on a ship or a raft, or one built on beams up from the ground cannot contract leprosy. By the law.
That's wild.
Why?
For a lot of reasons.
Oh, that was corners and touching the ground.
Just from some, you know, stuff I know about round houses and, you know, pyramids and things like that, it's weird that those two are.
What do you know?
Yeah, well, originally a lot of these tribes would have tents that were round and they were microcosms of the universe or something, and it represented, you know, the whole universe, and that, their whole house was built like that.
So it was whole.
And then I was just thinking about the pyramid.
Right.
You know, as a
when they say triangular house, is that what they mean?
Huh?
Pyramid.
Triangular house. Well,
a pyramid is a triangular house, whether it's the other way around.
Now the reason for it is, in effect, is because they are not in all those are true, but there's the more basic reason is because they are not of the shape of any part of the temple.
Wow. Mm.
What? There's no room in the temple that's built in a circle or a triangle.
So it's only things that represent
the temple.
Like, because the temple is really the only thing that we're talking about here,
right,
anyway.
Right. And that's why it's not a disease, it's a condition. That's why it can only be seen in the Lamb.
Yeah, this is
giggles.
But we are we are the temple of God. Now that if you're in that shape, then
you can't be in that shape.
No, but if you're in that shape, then you're susceptible to leprosy, or in any. I don't know if I said that where you can understand that, but it's
some of us are round and some of us are triangle.
Let's let it gel.
It's jelly already.
Where are you in the scriptures about this?
He's in the Talmud.
Listen, Talmud.
Oh.
A house in Jerusalem or in any place outside the land of Israel cannot contact leprosy.
Wow. Now,
that's the same thing.
That's what I said the other day. I said all this stuff.
You said it. I know it.
Okay.
But it's just neat.
This is
it's
only by the law, though, right? Because other nations had leprosy, right?
Not by the spiritual definition.
Yeah, a Gentile can't contract leprosy.
See, they dealt with this like they weren't scared about people getting it. They didn't. Run around, and it wasn't a big. It was just, it was because it was unclean. It wasn't because it was a bad, yucky disease. Like, they let some, let's don't inspect until after the...
Wait until we get into this stuff.
They don't deal with it like an epidemic or anything. They deal with it like something entirely different than the medical problem.
Well, they had leper islands and stuff, didn't they?
Yeah, but I mean, they didn't, it wasn't like they were big scared that more people would get it or anything. It was
had nothing to do with any of that.
It all is inside the camp, and outside the camp is the real issue.
It all has to do with spiritual stuff.
It's the only issue.
Yeah, but...
And it can only be seen in the promise. In other words, it can only be seen in the spirit by the young men. It can't be seen in the fathers, because they're in Jerusalem. Can't be seen in the adolescents because they're in the wilderness. Can't be seen in the children because they're still in Egypt.
An example is what you just said about them taking the furniture out. I mean, you'd think, hey, we got to burn all the furniture too, and mark off a 10-foot limit around the place and go find everybody who's been in there in the past 30 days. But they don't do that. In fact, they say, they let everybody get out. Because nothing actually even takes place until the priest actually goes and actually looks at it and actually makes his
leprosy
determination.
Leprosy does not exist.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
Until the priest declares it to exist.
And it's not a natural thing. It's not a natural phenomenon.
Okay. It is written, because the reason that a house in Jerusalem or in any place outside the land of Israel cannot get it is because it is written, which I give you for a possession. And it excludes the land outside the promise, and because Jerusalem was not divided.
I understand what you said. It's not a natural thing.
Well, then fear the spread of it, because it's not a natural thing. It's not a flesh thing. It's a spirit thing. It's a spirit thing done by God.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's both, isn't it? I don't understand how... It is also a physical problem.
They didn't respond to it.
It's not a physical problem.
Well, if the fingers and stuff fall off...
You're dead anyway.
We're talking about houses. But I mean, in the physical realm, there is a problem to have leprosy. We're talking different...
No, it's the same. It's the same.
Well, from now on, we are going to speak in one dimension only in this group of people. We are going to only speak in the idea of confession, i.e. we will speak and see the same things that God speaks and sees. Anytime you're in a position of not understanding, it has only to do with one thing, that you're trying to take it to the flesh. You're trying to spot the garment by the flesh. Got it? I'm going to preach different. Never have. All right. It's only a priest that can that declares something to be leprous. Not even a learned sage. It's only a priest that has the right and the duty to declare it leprous, and then by corresponding to declare it clean. Now, let me show you something else. Some neat stuff. I'm getting some notes around here. All may inspect for leprosy, but only a priest may declare them clean or unclean. That's what I just said. But even if the priest is totally unlearned, he's still the only one that can do it.
Totally unlearned? He has to be learned in the leprosy.
Totally, no, priesthood is by genetics.
Yeah, they had some weird priests. Stupid priests.
Stealth priest.
Stealth
priest. You understand?
Stealth priest. There you go. Stupid priest. Stealth
priest. And in that case, in the Talmud, the provision is that a scholar accompanies him. But the priest doesn't have to pay any attention to the scholar.
That's right.
His word is law.
That's great.
Remember what we studied last night in Bananas? Let me read it to you real quick. Whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide ye till you go from there. When you come into a house, salute it. Now, if the house be worthy, let your peace be upon it. But if the house be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that city or house, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily, I say unto you, shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment, than for that city. There's nothing, and those were dummies got at this time. They've made so many mistakes, it doesn't matter.
Amen. Yeah, even Jesus told them. They came back and said, you have little faith, but the thing still held that authority.
You understand? There's something else going on besides what you think it is.
Yeah.
You're being apprehended.
Now, some fascinating stuff.
Oh, good.
A bridegroom on whom a sign of leprosy appeared is granted exemption from inspection during the days of the 7 or 8 days of the marriage festival in respect to his own person, his own house, and his own garments.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Ooh.
Where'd you read that?
The Talmud. You didn't have my sources? I'm studying. I'm studying to see if these things are true. Well, to see if these things are true. I'm not asking any questions.
He reads them at
the I'm not asking any more questions.
All
he's
going to
do is mind talk.
He just figures to make it.
We're going
to
talk in one dimension.
During the festivals, you're granted exemption from inspection all the days of the festival. In other words, because you're granted exemption from inspection, means you can't have it.
That's neat.
You can't have it during the marriage ceremonies, the festivals, and you can't have it during the festivals. It's impossible.
That's like the 8th day. You can't have it in
7,
the 8th day.
Any of the days of the fest of the marriage. You can't have it on any of the days of the feasts.
Mm.
Did this go for men and women, or did it just be the men?
Well, there's neither male nor female. It went for only men. No, we'll get into that.
You said bridegroom, and I didn't know for men.
No, it didn't mean the bride. It meant the bridegroom. It didn't mean the bride. Now, leprosy may not be inspected in the early morning. Now you gotta tie in inspected with condition, because of the idea that it's a condition defined only after inspection by the priest. Mm-hmm. You got that?
Yeah.
Okay, leprosy may not be inspected in the early morning or in the evening, nor within a house, nor on a cloudy day, nor at noon, but only during the fourth, the fifth, and the eighth, and the ninth hour. Now, remember the hour, they don't give a hoot about clocks. It's the moment of sunrise, and then the day is divided into 12 parts. So the first hour is the first hour after sunrise. The second hour is the second after sunrise.
What were the hours now, you said?
The only time you could inspect it was the fourth, the fifth, the eighth, and the ninth hour.
So that'd be like right after 10 or 11 and 2 to 3. Right after noon.
10 or 3. 10, something like that. Yeah. 10 or 11, 2. Now, a man may inspect all leprosy signs, in other words, any of us, there's only a priest can declare, but you may inspect all leprosy except his own or his relatives or his wife or his children.
That is weird. You can't inspect your own leprosy. Darn.
Or your children.
Or your wife or your spouse.
Even help you out.
Now, you understand why we had to separate now a little further the betrothed? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the posture that you have to get in for the leprosy inspections.
Oh, right.
You cover it on this.
Why do I think this is going to have a double entendre?
You talked about this when Mark was
here. Yeah.
A little bit, I touched on it. Okay. That's my word. I touched on it, so to speak.
I noticed she's not back.
Margie?
For a man, the inspection takes place first in the position of one that hoes.
Hoes?
Hoes.
Like hoses?
Hose.
Hose a field.
You choose to be a hoe.
Hose a field. As one if hoeing a field. And their hoes weren't the long kind of hoes we got. They were the ones that were about that big.
Bend you over.
You bend over. In other words, in the normal posture plus the one hoeing, and then as one who gathers olives. Okay? Now this isn't neat. Just hold on a minute. For a woman, it's as one who rolls out dough, one who suckles her child, one who weaves at an upright loom, or one who spins flax. Now, there's all kinds of reasons that I'm not going to get into, but it's what John said the other night. The place that you, the condition that you're inspected in leprosy in is your normal daily activity, not in your spiritual activity. You understand?
Jesus.
Did the women have to get naked in front of the priest?
Yeah.
Partially.
At a time. Wait, in other words, part of the one body part was revealed.
That's
just
so true.
You understand? Leprosy is inspected during the course of your normal daily activities, not during the course of your visiting the synagogue.
Did it mean postures. I mean, you assume these postures.
Well, but get that out of your mind. Get that out of your mind. Okay. I mean, one is after the flesh that reveals a condition. Mm-hmm. Of course, here they did it in the posture.
Yeah.
But the posture defines the idea of activity, what your normal hand's going to do. So it's in the normal, I mean, you're right in the sense of that's what they did, but what it reveals to us, that was just a model. What it reveals to us is that leprosy is revealed not in your niceness, but when you, in your normal day-to-day activity.
Like, it might be declared leprous
in the synagogue,
setting,
right.
But it, you know, it's revealed all over the place, all in our activities.
You understand?
What a book, Leviticus.
But you can understand why it's taken us so long to study this, right?
Yeah. I was just thinking, it's amazing that there are 7 or 8, 9 people sitting in this room listening to you talk about this stuff. Any understanding of any of them, or even staying in the room.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Can you imagine 15 years ago if you'd sat in a room with people? They would have been
fair minion.
Now let's go to Jude. It's right before Revelation.
Slender, but...
Start in verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Now remember, we've studied that before in Peter, the same statement. The scoffers are those who say, where is the evidence of his presence? They mock by their denial of the finishedness. The ungodly lusts aren't their cock, isn't. The ungodly lust is their walking after sensory perception. They're not seeing that it's finished. You understand? And because of that, that means, obviously, from the thing that we've just discussed in the last few days, that raw flesh has appeared. So they are walking after the flesh. In will worship, in mind talk.
That's what I'm doing.
Okay. These be they who separate themselves. In other words, you separate yourself at the point when you stop prophesying. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, i.e., they make judgments after the senses. It's like that time up at the ranch we had a lesson in discernment. Doug and Harry.
You enjoy bringing that up to you. I don't remember it. It's quite funny.
7 times 7.
These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, the idea of to look for the mercy means it's, remember in the Hebrew the word is hasid, H-A-C-I-D, it's the fruit of the covenant. The idea that God has to, by definition, treat you as his own flesh. I mean, it's the only time he doesn't is when you make the covenant, you separate yourself and make the covenant without value. So when you look for the mercy, you automatically are looking away from impulse response, cause effect. You understand me? You're living totally by mercy, which is the fruit, mercy or grace, which is the fruit of the covenant. All leprosy is you walking away from the covenant.
Yeah.
All becoming totally leprous is, in the spirit, is turning back to the covenant and seeing that you're all white. Then falling away is, at any moment, turning yourself from that position in mind talk or will worship or desiring something to be different than it is. At that instant, your old way of, your childish or adolescent way of thinking was, okay, now God, how can I manipulate you, or how can I learn from Oli the right way to pray so I'll get this thing? And that's okay, you know, that's the same thing you do with adolescents. Now, the moment you desire anything more than you have at this instant, you are portraying or showing forth raw flesh, and the only way of returning in the camp is to see that you're leprous again, and to see that request, that even that desire is an act of will worship, sensual. Other than just, I mean, I don't care. You're not responsible for the desire. That's not the answer. Forget that. I want you, if you can't say, Father, here, and then forget about it.
Yeah.
If you sit there and, you know, when you're if you fret, that's good. If you consider it and plan it and calculate it, no matter what it is in your normal daily activity, that's where you're inspected. Now watch. Keep yourselves in the love of God. It's a position. You understand? Looking for the mercy, looking only for the hasid, or the grace, or the effect of the covenant, whereby God is obligated to treat your flesh as his flesh, your being as his being. That's why it says, and no man ever yet hated his own flesh. It wasn't talking about man. The mankind obviously hates his own flesh. There's suicides all the time. That's talking about God has never hated his own flesh. Mm-hmm. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking only for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, at the expense of all other avenues, no longer leaning on your own understanding. No longer cause and effect. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Remember? The house. You got to have the same vengeance with regard to the garment. We'll study the garment next, about what happens to the garments. That's enough for tonight. I don't feel like talking.
Wow.
Hmm?
Wild stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah, in a way, it's like this stuff, the farther we get, the simpler it is.
Oh, yeah.
Do it one more time. I read the next verse. That present you faultless before God, and I try to think of, well, whose definition? You know, and I think if I have my definition of falseness, faultless, I have my definition of rightness. And then that idea, I know it's said all the time, but you know, it's still, when you think of thinking in the same way that God looks at things, that's even a possibility, and that's the reality. Then it just,
yeah, it's like I've said to you all 1,000 times, but very few of you have ever believed it. Harry and I were talking about it tonight, that where it says two things. One, in Romans it says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. That's a concept that's mind-blowing in itself. But coupled with that is the concept that in a system such as God has defined, waste is impossible. And that means, I mean, in any economy, in any arena, now for you to, and that's not, well, who cares about waste? You do. You spend half your time concerned with whether or not you've wasted something, in, i.e. time, or that's, so the church, the modern religion teaches you to redeem the time, i.e. don't waste any. It's the exact opposite is true as usual.
See, it's impossible.
See that you're not wasting any.
See, it's
impossible. It's impossible to waste time. And the third thing, the most mind-blowing of all, is that you can do nothing against the truth. Now, all that put in targuming it simply means that when I say to you that you cannot make a mistake, it's not some mystical spiritual concept. It's the day-to-day, second-by-second reality of your life. It's mind-blowing. Because anybody, I mean, why would you believe me if I say to you that you can't make a mistake? The only reason is because you've seen me make 1,000 of them.
And they always turn out right.
Well, right or wrong, it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, it always turns out.
It turned, or something, you know.
Perhaps.
The world wasn't destroyed.
Yeah, and time and space don't come to an end or well. That's not even a good example.
You understand? You cannot, it's not some philosophical concept. You may get yelled at, but you can't make a mistake. You can do nothing against the truth. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose. Period.
Amen.
Yeah, that's
freedom.
Got it? Grab it. Take it, big guy.